joyful, happiness, hope, as a pastor and even as a part-time musician. I can hear happiness in the music, in the singers' voices, and I hear hope. It's not a false hope. It is tangible and it is real. For those of you that are sitting down, if y'all could just shift to the left-hand side, because Sister Toya always thinking ahead. Don't leave her alone over there. Brother Ryan, some of y'all sit on the other side. Don't leave her over there. Thank you so much. Sit on this side, unless you got to work. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Mike, you too. Well, Mike, you already sit on that side over there. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. I don't know what it is about this left-hand side. What is it? Something over there? As opposed to over here? It's close to the door? All right. It be like that sometime. All right. Amen. Amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 through 6. Typically play through this part. So y'all put your hands together for Jeff over here in the corner. He is assisting us on this morning as Brother and Sister Winsley are recharging. How many of you know you got to recharge sometimes? Yeah, it's very important. You got to recharge. Lady Martin and I also plan to do a quick little outing, more so midweek and things of that nature, but I just wanted to thank him and also give honor where honor is due on that. This morning's scripture is going to come from Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 through 6. Ezekiel 47, verse 1 through 6. And I don't know why God does the way that he does, but he's just so amazing, and you'll get it in just a moment. Verse 47, and this is a vision that Ezekiel actually has. Okay. It says in verse 1, then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. This is an angel talking to Ezekiel, showing him a vision of things to come. That's the frame of reference. Repeating, then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from the south side of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Next, he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate that faced east. There the water was trickling from the south side, and as the man went out east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water. Notice this, everybody, verse 3. It came up to my ankles. Then he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water, and it came up to my knees. He measured another third of a mile, which is about 1,750 feet. And it came up to my waist. Again, he measured off another third of a mile, and it was a river that I could not cross on foot. For the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed on foot. And he asked me, do you see this, the Son of Man? Another translation says, have you been watching? And then he led me back to the bank of the river. We're going deep this morning in the deep side of the pool. From the subject this morning, enter in. Enter in. Thank you, my brother. Enter in. So, if you can you turn that echo out for me? Press that button, that wet thing. It's the second from the bottom. Thank you so much. So, we are now in the midst of a specific vision that Ezekiel is actually witnessing at this moment in time. This vision is a beautiful vision of the temple of God, a place where God's people will dwell. A vision of this temple that is supposed to have a lot of blessed things that are going on in the midst. And so as Ezekiel is witnessing this dream, this dream is a metaphor of how the people of God should behold the presence of the Lord and how they should go deeper in the things of God. Quite frankly, there have been a lot of good things that have been happening in our ministry as of late. Haven't you noticed them? I sure have. Well, let me qualify that statement. God has been good all of the time, and all the time he has been good, but there is something stirring in the heavens, and I am waiting with bated breath to see what God is going to reveal to us. This stirring of the pot, the favor, the ebb and flow of impending overflow brings with it, and I have to be clear here, a level of discomfort, if I were to be honest. I feel uneasiness. But it's not a negative type of unease. It's actually a nervous excitement. That's the best way that I would describe it. Like the deep breath before a plunge, you know you can swim, but there's something about being in the deep end of the pool. If you ever remember growing up, there used to be this pool, maybe Rick can attest to this. There was this pool that was called the Jefferson Street Pool. Jefferson Street Pool is right over by the projects in Jacksonville. They've been torn down now and I guess rebuilt. And at that time it was called Blodgett Homes, and Blodgett Homes looked like it was about 7 acres of projects. That's how big it was. And you didn't mess with Blodgett Homes. People went to, I forgot, R.B. Daniels or some other school that was there. That was where all of the kids who had problems went to. And so we used to play right over there. Played right over there in Jefferson Street Pool. That was where I began to learn how to swim. And you know, there would always be some individuals that would be inside of the pool that would be older and playing around, wrestling, things that you even see today. And that was very terrifying when you're young and you're learning how to swim, especially for you know, black folk. We don't like the water, but we like to get in the pool. Don't even make any sense, right? We don't like the water, but we get in the pool. So I played around in the 3 feet and the 4 feet, but then every now and then you'll see these big old giant teenagers that are dunking people in the pool. You ever got dunked in the pool or got grabbed and just thrown in the pool? Well, if you ever learned how to swim in the hood, then that was your introduction. You get just thrown into the deep end of the pool. So I got thrown into 8 feet, and 8 feet was like legendary in the neighborhood, y'all. 8 feet deep. Because, you know, when you're like 4 feet or 3 feet and you swim around like Devin size, you're like, man, what is all this all about? And see, at those pools, they didn't have no life raft. They didn't lifeguard? What? I don't, they had a lifeguard stand, but it was like rusted and it was no seat. So so there was no lifeguard, but they would throw you into the deep end of the pool. And either you sunk or you swam. And there will always be some coach that had his pants all the way up to his chest saying, you need to go ahead and get that person out of the pool before they drown. I don't want their mama coming out here and getting them. And so that was kind of like how the story goes. So I remember being thrown in to 8 feet. It almost felt as if there was a lack of control because of the environment. But once I gathered myself and I realized the environment that I was in, I began to settle down. That's exactly how Ezekiel felt as he began to move through those waters. The water is representing the word of God, the manifest wisdom of God. And as you begin to go deeper and deeper into him, you begin to lose more control. Let me give you a picture of that. Have you ever gone to the beach before? And you start off at the shoreline and then you start walking further and further into the water. And as it goes to your ankles, you still have a lot of control. When it comes to your knees, you still have some control, but it's going to take you, you know, some good stomach muscles in order for you to move around. And then when it gets to your waist, you start swaying back and forth. And then once it starts getting up to your head and you can't feel the bottom anymore, then that's like you have lost total control. But that's how it is when you enter in. Enter into where? The temple? The church building? This building? No, the building is not the church, it's the people. The people are the church, not the building. But when you are thinking about entering in, we're talking about entering into the presence of God. And so this morning we got a chance to enter in a little bit. Unfamiliar sound, an unfamiliar tone. It's been I've been hearing the heartbeat for several weeks now, but the beat is getting louder. And this is not about music. It's about a sound. This is not about choreography or arrangement or composing. It's a sound that you hear from heaven. We're waiting on it. We're in pause mode. That's how it feels. And it feels like God is pushing us into a different dimension. It's almost like, I'm trying to explain this. It's almost like having a feeling that things are going very well, but you don't want to mess it up. Have you ever felt like that before? Things are going really good. I don't want to mess it up. Relationship's going really good. Is something wrong with them? Is there something wrong with her? This church is really nice. I'm sure everybody ain't nice like that. I'm sure there's a scandal somewhere. There's nothing wrong with good, healthy skepticism, but you know what? Every now and then, God does let you have good news several weeks and even months in a row. Sometimes he allows for you to experience the fruit of your labor. And when I think about it, it really sounds noble on the surface when you say a phrase like, you know, I just don't want to mess things up. But here's one thing that you need to understand about the things of God. We must be careful not to think that we can trigger God's blessing based on time and our effort. His grace, honestly, is sufficient. There have been times when we work doggedly hard in the ministry, and like scripture says, there will be somebody that just shows up and God blows on that and then begins to move forward mightily, while the one that's been there the entire time begins to have a little bit of envy. And I know that that's sometimes have creeped into ministries that have been around as long as we have. How in the world did they do what they do? And they haven't been around as long as us. How in the world? And we have everything. And see, that's where the enemy begins to creep in. You don't need to worry about that. Numbering the people or looking at who's inside of the audience can trouble many an individual. But God says, keep your eyes on him if you want to enter in. So the truth of the matter is we are only called to do two things in this dispensation: to love God and to love people. The two greatest commandments. And occupy or keep doing what we are doing, as Prophet Alexander so often would tell us. So consider today a call to worship him and to give God thanks in advance for what he is doing and what he is about to do. The rider has no power over the wave. The person has no power over the usher. Deacon Lewis and Deacon Rodriguez serve as ushers, if you will, to assist. We are simply to just enter in, thanking God and praising him as the water ascends to the next level. We like to say God is in control, but is he? When God is in control, you will feel like I do, a little bit of uneasiness. Are you sure you want me to go into the deep end of the pool? I mean, I'm a strong swimmer, but I don't know. I'm a little bit uncertain. That's how I feel. Things are going well. But I believe that as the body of Christ, this local assembly, we need to become more humble now than ever before. You never want to say, well, you know what I see a trap that usually a lot of ministries run into is that when things start going well, that's when the preacher or leader starts saying the hater messages. You can stick it to your haters now. But I would like to do the opposite. I would like to be humble and enter into his presence even deeper. That's where I go when I'm feeling a bit of unease, selling out. What happens if you get an offer to take over a restaurant? A bit of unease, right? It's like such good news. You'd be like, ooh. And that's how I feel. And so when you come to that uncomfortable place where God is trying to stretch you, trying to take you to a place where he wants you to be, yes, you've been faithful. Yes, you've been serving. Yes, you've been trusting in him. When he finally allows for the flower to bloom, can you handle it? Well, let me show you how you can handle it. The safe place is not just when troubles come. The safe place is also when good times come. Because there's nothing worse than a person getting egotistical and arrogant when things start going well, as if they had something to do with God's blessing. You really don't. He blesses whom he blesses. I give favor to those whom I give favor with. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated or disliked, even though you'll come from the same womb. I will bless those who I will bless. I will curse those who I will curse. Either way, it is all God. So let's, as we begin to move into the verses this morning, let me teach you a couple of things about how you can enter into the presence of God. This uncomfortable feeling when good things are happening. That's what I feel. First of all, you need to understand that there is only one entrance. So I want you to get the full depth and breadth of what I mean by entering in. It's like a door being opened up. But what's on the other side of the door? All that God has for you. But all that God has for you also has some hills and valleys that you must navigate. So there's only one entrance. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 5 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger," strange sound, strange ministry, strange preacher, strange prophet that's online asking you for the latest Cash App for their birthday, "they simply will not follow, but will flee from him and her," because we want to be equal, "because they do not know the voice of strangers." How do you know what God sounds like? I can tell you that he don't sound like us. His sound is otherworldly. The scripture describes God as holy other, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy other. In other words, something that we cannot even comprehend. But when you are in his presence, you recognize it. You recognize the sound. That something great is happening, not about to. We've been in a perpetual state of about to. God is getting ready to. God is about to. God is going to. But I also hear the scripture says that hope deferred also makes the heart sick. So just being in an about to ready position, that's like someone getting ready to deliver a baby for 500 hours. Ladies, can you be in labor for 500, 600, 800 hours? That's what a lot of people are feeling in the spirit today when they hear people continuously say God is getting ready to, but there's never any birth. So you need to know that there is only one entrance into the kingdom of God, into his presence, and that is through Jesus Christ. There may be 50 ways to leave your lover, but there's only one way to God, and that's through his son, Christ Jesus, who came, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. Let me remix that. There may be 50 ways to Jesus, but there's only one way to God. You may have come to Jesus through crack cocaine. You may come to Jesus in the midst of a service. You may come to Jesus as you're going down the lonely road, just reading and listening music by yourself with tears in your eyes because you just have been laid off. You could come to Jesus in the midst of a divorce. You could come to Jesus in the midst of being married. You could come to Jesus as you're seeing your child being born. And now you grasp the concept of what it means to be born again, a newness, a freshness, that new baby smell. But Jesus is the doorkeeper. He is the one, I hope you get it, that will usher you into his presence. Just as Brother Jose is sitting in the back right there, and you may be at the very front, he welcomes you with a smile. And Brother Duan welcomes you with a smile. there to usher you in, tell you where you can sit at, help keep things in order. It's just so crazy how God does things. And so that's what Jesus does for us. He just doesn't let us just approach the Father any old kind of way. Or does he? Let's see. So this is where we will try to knock out one little myth that you sometimes hear in the church, which is come as you are. How many of y'all have heard that? When you come to church, you could come as you are. You could come with your butt hanging out, breasts is showing, pants hanging down to the ground off your butt. So you can come to church any old kind of way. Well, yeah. If you don't have any idea about God and you're fresh off the street, yes. But once you get to know him, then you'll understand modesty and doing things in moderation. And then if you're a part of a good church, then you'll have people who are seasoned that will gently encourage you to do the right thing. You see? So come as you are has nothing to do with what you look like, what clothes that you have. I've seen people who are evil and well-dressed, brilliant and look like paupers or are afflicted with poverty. So it has nothing to do with how you look on the outside. Come as you are is really talking about the disposition of the heart. What is the contents of your heart? Are you coming ready to receive the word of God? Come as you are, but how you enter in matters. Psalms 100 verse 4 and 5 in the CSB verse says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Lord God, I thank you for waking me up this morning. Lord, I thank you for all the great things that you're doing. Lord, I thank you for just getting a couple of calls to enroll some students. Lord, I thank you that service was able to go forward with a musician. I thank you for the small things. I thank you for the great things. Thank you for my wife and children. So when you come through those doors right there, you should already be in a mode of thankfulness. Or am I really talking about those doors right there? No. If we are the church, and the church is not the building, maybe the doors is right here. See, it matters not whether I shake your hand at the door with a long flowing robe like the old school Baptist preachers used to do. It's always funny, the preachers never shake your hand coming the way in, but they always shake your hand when you're leaving. And some of us are accustomed to things like that. But the truth of the matter is that you want to be smiling so that you can welcome in the Holy Spirit into your heart. That's the position. Jesus is the gatekeeper. He is the one who ushers you into the presence of God. And without him, you can never be a part of what God is doing. It's like an outsider looking in, sitting in the pew, but you don't even understand. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good and his faithful love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations. Now that's David saying these things, but this is his position in his heart. This is what he is saying about God. David has gone through some tough times, but he's also gone through some blessed times. After all, he's king, king of all Israel, a symbol and type of Jesus Christ. So there's a lot to be thankful for. I sure enough would be thankful, especially if I did all the stuff I did with Bathsheba and God still didn't take my crown. Really? He still loves me even though I sent a man to his death because I told the troops to withdraw themselves and Uriah, who happens to be Bathsheba's husband, because I wanted her so bad. I had a dream about her last night and I got her, but it was through deceptive means. And now a man is dead, his bloodline cut off. And yet God did not strip the kingdom away. Saul actually did less. Saul was also disobedient to God. But one thing that Saul did that David did not do is that Saul, when he was in the midst of trouble, he sought the devil to help him. David, when he got in trouble, he went right back to God. Usher. Some of y'all have memories of ushers, right? Like when I think of Jesus, I don't think about the usher that was at your church on this side of the mountain at XYZ address. The ushers that we have in our mind is somebody that's standing at the door doing this. Don't go in there until they finish praying. Or like in my church, it'd be like small little window and they just peeking out that window just like this. With those, just looking. Don't you go in there. And they be strong too. It's like you're trying to go into the door and they just hold that thing. And the lady is about this high. She's got that thing firm just like this. Try to push in. Pastor's still praying. I wonder who came up with the whole idea of being still when you're praying. I thought we were supposed to watch as well as. Welcome to Divine Truth Christian Center, where we love God, love people. I want to push all that religious stuff out of you. Because the scripture says that if you try to come any other way, it's like a thief and a robber. Jesus didn't make all of those requirements. He just said, believe in him. So here's a message, and I hope you see the steps. Number one, I told you there's only one way to get in, and that's through Jesus Christ. Another way is how you look heart-wise as you're entering in. No real core requirements. There's just that you're supposed to thank God for what he's doing in your life. And you can have a twisted, wicked, burnt up heart going through problems, issues, and circumstances as long as you enter in. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me another chance. I would see why David would be so thankful, especially with all the dirt. It's almost as if the more dirt that you've had and the more stuff that you've gone through with your crazy self, the more that you should thank him. It's a decade later, and I still am up here as if it was like the very first day, because I know where God has brought me from. So here's a quick little message for those of us that are already inside the gate. Let me move quickly here. Did you know that Jesus' disciples would also be considered as ushers? In the same sense that they, number one, prepare the way for Jesus. So as people of God, when we come with somebody that's new to the faith, we should prepare the way for Jesus by preaching the gospel. We should share the word of the Lord with them. We should let them know exactly what he is all about, who Jesus is, who is he? He is God. And what he came to do, what did he come to do? To save those that are lost. That is a simple message of the gospel. He came, died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he now makes intercession for us, because he sits at the right hand of the Father. We can now boldly go before the throne of grace. It's a beautiful scenery. So we are to help people into the presence of God. They also help keep order among those listening to Christ. Right? So while we're here hearing the word of God, we should encourage those that are sitting next to us that can comprehend to listen. We thought it was just saying, be quiet to the baby. But no, the baby's saying amen. When some of us should be. Right? The reason why I don't trip over that, like how a lot of people have over the years, is because that means that there's life in the church. If everybody's gray-haired, then it's on its way to die. Amen, Jeremiah, the prophet. Did you also know that the disciples, the ushers of Jesus, also serve food to the audience? So that's why we eat so much. The snack shack, that's a part of fellowship, right? Not only that, we also clean up after service, such as the feeding of the 5,000. Now, you already know that there was fish bones, fish sandwiches, bread all over the place. People came from all of them weren't saved. But it was the people of God that cleaned up after them. Now, we're talking about that in a natural, physical sense, but I'm talking about helping people clean their lives. You see the deeper truth? That's what a parable is. It's an illustration of a deeper truth. And y'all need to clean up the lobby, too. Enter in. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4 says in the New Living the following. And this represents what I would call some verses that could really help you enter into his presence. Lady Martin, I've been feeling an uneasiness, but it's an uneasiness that God is taking us to a place into deep waters. And it's almost as if we want to reach for the life raft, but God says, don't worry about it. I got you. You can handle this. You can handle the overflow as it comes, because the overflow can take you where you want to go, but it can also kill you. Isaiah 50 verse 4. Just a couple of verses and then I'll be out of your way. Verse 4 says, "The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will." This is for the weary traveler, the person who's been walking through this journey called life, but need strength. Have you ever gotten tired of doing right, doing the good thing, doing the right thing, being the upstanding young man, the outgoing yet humbling young lady? Have you ever just wanted to go out of town and then just seen it till your eyes popped out? Brother and Sister Winsley, may the Lord help you. It'd be like that sometimes, especially when you serve God for a long period of time. It could get tiring. I know that in our ministry, I would say about 2018, around there was a lot of ministry fatigue. Lady Martin remembers, there was a lot of ministry fatigue. 2018, it was a tough fight because we went through some storms, man. Some storms. And so sometimes you get tired, but that verse should bring you a level of comfort, because God will give you wisdom. He'll help you during times of weariness. And morning by morning, he will open your understanding as to why in the world is this happening to me at all? Why, Lord, why me? I didn't ask for this, but yet here we are. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, "In times of uncertainty, I need to hear your voice." That's how we feel. Verse 3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and incomprehensible things you do not know." Again, in times of uncertainty, God, I need to hear your voice. Lord, let me know that I'm not going to drown. Let me know, Lord God, that things are going to be all right. That Monday, everything is going to be all right with the daycare. That next weekend, everything is going to be okay with the broken plate, or things are going to be all right in the ministry, or that I'll be able to pay rent this month, or you know, that we will be able to reconcile as friends after we fell out. Things are going to be all right. But what happens if you just don't know? Well, this is another way to enter into his presence. God will show you and will tell you great and incomprehensible things that you have no idea about. Had no idea that we were going to get contacted to give away all those book bags, but yet, here we are. Did we deserve it? No. We were just being faithful. Sometimes you have to hang around long enough for God to bless you. Psalms 42, verse 1 through 2 says the following. It says, "As the deer longs for flowing streams, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God, when can I come and appear before God?" It's like the song that I was singing just a couple of weeks ago. "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, so I long to worship thee." A level of thirst for the dry soul. What happens if your vessel is dry? Well, you need to ask God to fill you up. Here's the danger of being in church too long. If you're in church for too long, but you're not being the church, then you are in danger of becoming more religious as opposed to being intimate. You see the difference here? Men, you will know this. Those of you that are married, you know the difference between when she's into you and when you're going through the motion. There's nothing more insulting to a man to know that she's been faking it all along. Brother Jeff, it's really quiet in here. Y'all all right? Oh, yeah, it's quiet. Yeah. But what I learned over the years is that a lot of times it's because one or both parties are not communicating. You don't want to go through the motions. You have to be willing to teach and also being willing to listen. That's in the natural, but it's also the same thing in the spirit. Now, no man can teach God anything. So automatically, you know your position as being a student. But you can talk and you can ask questions. It's okay to question God as long as you know that you're still a student. There's no such thing as stupid questions. Because Job questioned God in the midst of losing half of his family, losing his job, his resources, and going through health problems. And it wasn't just like catching a cold. I'm talking about on your deathbed, boils showing, and friends are showing up and wondering whether or not you are either worthy of being blessed by God in the first place, and you don't need all that. You don't take all of that. So please do not believe that your tenure inside of a church is synonymous with you being close to God. Don't go through the motions. Don't just go to church. Be the church. Don't just get married. Be married. Amen, lights. Amen, walls. James chapter 4, verse 8. Even Jeremiah was quiet. Oh, Lord. James chapter 4, verse 8 says the following. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. This verse speaks to those that feel distant from God right now. I've sensed that in some of your faces. I can tell that you're in a long-distance relationship with the Lord. Anybody ever feel or know what it's like to be in a long-distance relationship? It's kind of hard, ain't it? It's got to be something strong, but most of the time, it drifts apart because of lack of communication or wondering what the other is doing. Have you ever wondered what God is doing because he feels so far from you? That he saved you and then he stopped talking to you? Or like it is sometimes when we get married, it seems like everything is the trees of green, red roses too. I say to myself, what a wonderful way. And it feels like that at the very beginning, but then after a while, it's like silence. But God never said to stop talking to him. You must continue. So if you're feeling distant, God says, draw near to him. How? Through his son. He's the usher. He won't close the door and hold the door close on you. No. If you want to get into the presence of God, you need to find the usher, and the usher will take you to your seat. He'll find space for you. He'll remove the distractions from around you. He'll tell you to put that phone up and get into my word. But then there's something that happens in verse John chapter 15, verse 5, moving quickly here. What will happen when I get close to God? You ever ask that question? Okay, so now that I'm in the room with my lover, that's how the Song of Solomon speaks about Christ and the church, that as the church, as the body of Christ, that Jesus is our lover in a non-sexual sense. He loves us. And we want to be in communion with him. So now that we're in the room with our lover, what's supposed to happen when we get close to God? Well, John 15, verse 5 says, in verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. God, I feel like everything I do, it seems like it's going nowhere. Are you tapped? To the vine. Remember the vines from a long time ago, Papa Jaden? Do it for the vine. I ain't gonna do it. Do it for the vine. I ain't gonna do. Do it for the vine. I don't even know what it was. I preached a message called Do It for the Vine a long time ago. I still remember that. And I think that's what the purposefulness of our lives should be. We should do it for the vine. He is the vine. We should tap into him. How do you tap into Jesus? Get into his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. How can one hear unless there's a preacher? How can one preach unless they are sent? Well, I hear preaching all the time. Is the preacher sent? Was they sent by God? If they were sent by God, you should come from the house of the Lord feeling one or two ways. You should have mixed emotions when you come from the house of the Lord on a regular basis. A balanced diet. You should hear some sweetness, but you should also hear some bitter herbs. That's a total diet. Everything is not going to be blessings and favor and benefits. Did you know that the benefits package that you hear about at your job is one of the very shortest parts of your tenure there? You just hear that during your orientation. But the rest of the time is about work. Ain't it? Right? Well, the benefits package, oh, we have the great, the wonderful benefits package for you. You'll be able to do this and be able to do that. Be able to do this and be able to do that. But all of it lasts for one day. And then after that, you don't hear nothing else about it, right? I look up like my daddy when I do that. You wanna know what my dad's head looked like? That's what he looked like. So when you're in the vine, you will have a fruitful life, and fruit doesn't always mean things. It almost seems like everybody's trying to become an internet brand influencer, where you get a really good camera, you sit in front of it, you put the different bags that may or may not be real in front of it. You go on a couple of trips, like you're a celebrity, get a couple of likes, and now. But what I see is mass deception. It's mass deception. Sex trafficking gone run amok. Somebody had to pay for that $5,000 worth of butt injections. And how are you going to pay for that when you ain't got no job, except for being pretty? Mass deception. So don't get caught up in all of that stuff. Do it for the vine. Do it for the vine. Psalm 27, verse 8 says the following. It says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Let me go ahead and break this down, right? You know what I heard in this voice verse right here? Lady Martin, you already know where I'm going. What am I going to say? Come and talk to me. Yeah, I really want to know you. Can I talk to you? Yeah, I really want to know you. It was a whole conversation between a gentleman and a young lady, and it was talking about courting. Now, as the bride of Christ, what does Jesus do with us on a regular basis? He courts us. He keeps the relationship fresh. Give us this day our daily bread. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Notice it's no mouth. So this is not something that you say out of your mouth. For many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, from out of their mouths, but their heart was far from me. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, the person who consistently does bad things, for I never knew you. Your lips are close to me, but your heart is distant. That's what happens when you have religion. Yeah, baby, I love you, but I feel as if you're not telling me the truth. So as I conclude, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. I love this as far as entering into the presence of God and different ways to communicate with God and deal with him while you are there. It can be done through praise and worship. Praise and worship leaders, you're like ushers, honestly. And so, it's so important. Instead of keeping the door closed, you open the door. The way that you keep the door open is that you have to be clean in Jesus. Right? Oftentimes when we are called to do things inside of the house of the Lord, we're ineffective because we're not standing in his righteousness and we're dry. And we need to be refreshed in the things of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25 is another verse of scripture. And this kind of reminds me of what I've been hearing frequently over the last several months. And that's a pop-up shop. This is a pop-up shop, y'all. Well, the pop-up shop in the secular sense is basically when you get a tent and you have some things that you're getting ready to sell and you put them outside in different places so that people can enjoy what you have. It may be food, it may be jewelry, it may be clothing, it could be baseball cards, wink, wink. That's one of the things I look for in a pop-up shop. And the whole thing about a pop-up shop is that it's not permanent, it's temporary. So the thing about entering into the presence of God is that he allows for us to tabernacle with him. The other thing about a pop-up shop that I like is that it can literally pop up anywhere. It could be anywhere. In your car, you can have a pop-up shop with just you and the Lord. You could sit at the master's table and you could partake of what he has to give to you. You could have a conversation. You could talk about things. You could tabernacle together. And the part that I love about this is just like Las Vegas. What goes on there stays there. You talk about a no snitch rule. Jesus won't tell anybody about what you tell him. He's just happy that you're willing to bring it to the table, to talk it over. And he'll also put the infrastructure in place so that after he has talked to you, you won't be just on your own by yourself. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25 says, verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, that's everybody all up in here. Since we have the boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, you see that? He was inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with a heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. There's a transformation that will take place. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful, steady, sure. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. Culminating with the final verse, not neglecting to gather together as we are doing today. As some are in the habit of doing. Some people are in the habit of just saying, I ain't gonna go to church. And nowadays, it's not just going to church that we should look at. Some have gotten to the habit of not being the church. But they claim to be a part of the body. And that's how church hurt starts blowing up like wildfire, because you have people who are posing as believers, but they have not come into repentance. And they sit among us like wheat and tares. But those of you will know his voice. And those of you will never charge the crimes of those that sit in the pew with the one that is leading. And that's not the preacher, that is Jesus Christ. So we are to encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. There's nothing like being in the presence of God. There's nothing like it. It's a special thing. It's a beautiful thing. It gives us peace and comfort, during times of uncertainty. Even when those uncertain times are because things are going well. And things are going so good. Woo! Are you sure I won that contest? Are you sure the deposit's supposed to be that big? Are you sure we sold out? Especially after a week that we've endured prior to that. Are you sure that people are going to come to the house of the Lord and have a thirst for the things of God in the midst of the summer? When everybody's trying to get back and make up for what they lost in 2020? But I don't believe that the comeback is just for the world. I also believe it's for the house of the Lord as well. And that there's those that are thirsting and hungering for righteousness and that want to be the church. God will help you when you have questions. He'll give you strength for those of you that are weary. He'll give understanding for those of you that are confused. He'll help you to not get all dry and then just go through the motions. There's hope. There is good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. Enter in. The water is great. Be blessed, people of God. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Come on, stand to your feet. We're done. Lady Martin, I think I'm on a good streak of ending on time. While I'm out of time in the human and in the church sense, you could still have a pop-up shop with God in the lobby and even outside, all right? So God bless you, God keep you. This is my prayer. I hope and pray that you enjoyed the message, that you enjoyed the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you. We thank you for your allowing for us to be into your presence and showing us ways to enter into your presence. We understand who the usher is. The usher is Jesus Christ. We thank you for the message, the glorious message of the gospel. Now, while you may be taking us into deeper waters, into deeper depths, you will not let us drown. You will keep us afloat. Strength for those that are weak. Endurance for those that are weary. Substance for those that are feeling empty, and nourishment for those that are hungry and are thirsting after righteousness. Lord God, speak to us now. Touch us where we are. There is hope. There are answers. God has not left you. He has not forgotten about you. And he won't put you out there and leave you alone to fail. Lord, we love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Consider yourselves dismissed. Ciao, arrivederci, bye-bye. Don't forget to love God and love people. Be blessed.